Are 964 Porsche wide bodies still bringing mad money? Or does this 964 on Bring a Trailer represent a crash in the market? Watch this video and find out. All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Bid Nerds. My name is John Polnick, coming to you from the Rummy Studio in downtown Las Vegas, along with my partner, Michael Deeb, in the yet-to-be-named studio in San Francisco. Good morning, sir. How are you?
What's up, JP? Good morning.
Are you stoked? You look a little jittery. You look like you're a little amped up because you're as excited as I am.
I am very amped up and very excited. We have big surprises today.
We have a big guest. How big a deal is this? We have Lucky Lopez from the Lucky Lopez YouTube channel. What's up, Lucky?
Welcome, Lucky.
How's it going, gentlemen? Thank you so much for having me. I can't wait to throw some darts in the dark and see if we can get any of these prices correctly. I'm sure we're going to be way off, but we'll have a blast doing it in the meantime.
Oh, man, look at this guy. He's being humble already. You know he's going to wipe the floor. He's a professional for all those. If you don't know who Lucky Lopez is, you're missing out. He's got a fantastic automotive YouTube channel. He is a guy who educates not just consumers, but actual dealers. He teaches people how to set up their own dealer. He teaches people how to buy cars and sell cars and all that kind of stuff. Did I get any of that right, Lucky?
No, 100%. But you know what's funny? The way the market is right now, even we're using common sense to figure out prices, and right now people are not using that. So the prices are all over the board. So I think even if we totally tank this one, I think it'll be fun and educational.
You are
Lucky,
right. In,
Lucky,
you're
I've been
welcome
saying that
here.
For 2 years. I've been saying that 2 years. I have plenty of common sense. It just doesn't apply.
Yeah, 100%.
Just be a bearish Chicken Little like me and underbid, and you'll do just fine. Deeb will pick some number. Deeb isn't using common sense. He's optimistic. Let's put it that way.
I use a lot of future pricing. Eventually, my number makes sense a couple years from now.
He's not wrong. He's just early. Okay, for those of you who are new to the channel, what we do here is it's like The Price is Right, only with cool enthusiast cars. So we dig through Bring a Trailer, Cars and Bids, P-Car Market, all the auction sites. We find the most interesting car. We have a conversation about that car. We make a prediction as to what we think that car will auction for, or if it'll fail, or any of that kind of stuff. We make our predictions right here. And then we go in the future on the second half of the show and we reconcile our predictions with what actually happened. So stick around to the end to make sure that you see how wrong we are. And the fun part is you can play along by putting your bids in the description below. It's a lot of fun. Quick shout out to our good friends at Godin Classic, Godin Porsche of Las Vegas. They support the show, so we want to support them. Let's get right to it. Michael Deeb, what is today's most interesting car of the day? You're excited about this.
Painfully excited.
This is you.
On Bring a Trailer is a 1994 Porsche 911 Carrera 4 wide body, a C4 wide body from 1994. One of the sexiest, prettiest, funnest driving 964 itinerations ever. In 1993 in Europe, they launched the 30-year anniversary car. And in 1994, in the rest of the world, they launched the 993. But in America, we were still selling 964s, so they brought out a couple of special editions of the 964 to keep the cars and the potential Porsche 911 buyers interested and have something to attract them to the showroom floors. And so Porsche brought to the United States in 1994 approximately 267 C4 factory wide-body coupes. These are normally aspirated cars, all-wheel drive, and just have the beautiful turbo front and rear hips. Our car is showing 24,000 miles and is offered on Bring a Trailer out of Santa Barbara, California. It is black with the caramel leather interior and looks stunning, JP. Are you feeling me with the cup wheels on the wide body look? I just think this car is everything. Not a ton of options on this car, JP. You will be remiss to find out that it's just got the standard seats with the ball sack leather. And then what else can I tell you? An aftermarket head unit. I don't think these cars came with a limited slip differential because of the all-wheel drive system. But our car is a two-owner vehicle, And although cosmetically, like, the stone guards, the clear plastic stone guards look really bad in the sunlight on the side of this car, and a 964 is when they hit a parking curb, they get that little indentation in the front valance. Those things haven't been corrected on this car, but I don't, you know, none of that stuff would bother me. What you're looking at is a, I would say, unusual colorway in the black with tan and the black dash and a low mileage example. They list it as true mileage unknown, but the owner states that he took the car in for service, didn't drive the car, and when it went back in for service, it had the same mileage, which means that at some point the odometer stopped working and he didn't get it fixed. But he says he drove virtually no miles on it when the odometer wasn't working. And I tend to believe him. If something like that happened in 2012, who was commuting in this car for 1 year at that time? It just doesn't make any sense. So I'm totally on board with the TMU on this thing. When you look at the condition of the interior, it certainly looks like a brand new car. And these things are just so rare by the numbers. Who cares? I want one, and these are investment grade cars. Now, C4s in this country, the wide bodies have started to go crazy in price. JP, I think we're in for a real moonshot with this one. I'll get to the numbers a little bit later, but I will send it over to you. Lucky Lopez, are you familiar with the one-year only, one of 267 C4 wide body? Is that a car you've ever heard of? And do you prefer the wide body, the Coke bottle shape, or do you like the narrow body when it comes to a 911?
No, Coke bottle the whole way. We actually used to buy a lot of the 70s through 80s models and do the wide body flares with the whale tails. And we used to get these kits out of LA. I can't remember the name of them. God, it's escaping me. But that was kind of what I did when I first started my shop, was we started just buying affordable. Well, back then they were affordable Porsches. We used to buy them for $8,000 to $10,000. But now, I mean, they skyrocketed. But yeah, this one, I know it's, I have an idea of what it's going to go for as far as what a regular crazy consumer is going to pay. But I know with a dealership and what a private collector is going to pay. So I think they'll be two uniquely different numbers.
Interesting. John, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, I mean, come on, you know, I love this car. The wide body 964 is one of the best looking cars of all time, but boy, the presentation on this car is absolutely terrible. The photos are garbage. The car does not look like it's even had a solid detail. You know, I can always appreciate when someone goes to sell something like this honestly, right? They don't try to get too artistic with the photos. They, you know, I appreciate romanticism, but if you're gonna do the photos of a car like this that could get somewhere in the $200,000 range, you know, let's make the photos and the presentation match that. This car looks like they pulled it out of the garage, they've been driving it. This notion of the true mileage thing too, it's like, at 24,000 miles, if that's legit miles, this car really is collector grade. But because the presentation of the car is so poor, it really makes you question everything about the car. I'm with you on kind of leaning towards giving the owner the benefit of the doubt here, but with crappy stone guards and iPhone photos and the wheel facing the wrong way, what do you think of the presentation of this car, Lucky?
I think you hit nail on the head. I mean, if this was something truly rare and truly unique, I would spend the extra time getting professional photos done, spending the extra money, getting everything detailed. I would fix the actual odometer because I know just having that could add 20 to 30% on the value, showing that the true miles are there. But for some reason, I feel like he's hoping that the rarity of the car will actually sell it instead of how great and how well kept it is. So I believe that if he doesn't want to spend too much money, he's hoping that if he doesn't make it perfect, somebody will see it as a deal and go ahead and overpay for it.
Yeah, it's a good take. What, Deeb, you said that the odometer was technically fixed, right? It was, okay.
Right.
And it's really common on these. I don't know if you remember when you were working on them, you know, never touch the trip meter on a 911, on an air-cooled 911, it will break, especially if you're moving. You know, we did a road trip across the country in the C4S 993, and I had someone go with me who wasn't super familiar with old Porsches, and I had a sticky note on the dash. I'm like, if you ever drive this thing, do not effing touch that trip meter because it will damn break. He's like, that was the first thing I was going to do. So, all right.
Isn't that crazy?
What do you think this car will bring, Michael Deeb? What's going on? What's going on with the market?
So, JP, again, by the numbers, one of 267 for the U.S. market that 1 year. Super low miles. You know, arguably, I think we've seen in the last 3 years maybe one car that has gone or come to auction that had lower miles than this one. You know, a couple of months ago, and if everything was perfect, I'd say this is a $250,000 car, maybe more. But I think given the presentation, given the mileage discrepancy, somebody called him out and said, hey, if you should do paint meter readings to prove that this is original paint and to authenticate the low miles. He did that in the comments. He added a bunch of paint meter readings. And so I do think that his story will stick and that I think that this car will, in fact, break the 200. Our car, JP, is sitting at $150,000 on 14 bids, but it was at $120,000 and somebody put a $30,000 bid and tried to go for a knockout punch. But I think this car is going to go way further than that. I do think it's going to break 200 grand. So I'm going to say $210,000 and that maybe this guy is leaving $10,000 or $20,000 on the table by not doing a better job of presenting it. But I don't think this car is going to go for less than 200 despite the current economical climate because it's just so rare. So Lucky, I send it to you. It's at 150 grand and I think it's going to break 200. I'm going to give it to you at 210,000 bucks. What do you think?
I'm guessing it's probably going to go around 187, just like dead in the water.
Ooh,
I think
good.
Once the hardcore collectors start coming in, they're going to pick this thing apart. And one thing I've noticed about cars and bids and bring a trailer is the bids are simply not there. I know about 4 months ago, six months ago, 70% of the bidders were actual dealers. And there's only a handful of regular people on there. So now it's like the dealers are out of the game. Their credit lines are maxed out. So now we're going to have to deal with really hardcore collectors and actual, fanatics. And I don't think that either of them are going to want to pay the extra money for something like this, especially when you think about what you can get for 250K in this market. There's a lot of great exotic cars that are slowly dropping. So my guess is about 187.
Fantastic take.
Yeah, Lucky, you had mentioned in one of your recent films or videos about how the exotic car market is in pretty big trouble. Compared to classic cars, I mean, this is somewhere kind of on a bubble, right? It's new enough that it has kind of a modern look, but it's still technically a classic, but it's in that couple $100,000 price point. The big expensive Lambos and stuff like that, the brand new stuff, those are taking a dump, total nosedive. We're not seeing that as much in air-cooled cars, particularly. Are you seeing that in any other classic class?
No, actually, Porsches was the one car that seemed to be going actually up in value as the rest of these exotics started dropping because, you know, paying $180,000 for a Porsche 911 GT3, it seems like a bargain compared to paying $250,000 for a 2015 Lamborghini Huracan, twice the performance and way more reliable. So if people are starting to see that Porsches are such a great value, they're starting to get in there. More collectors are coming in there. Porsches are more of a discerning buyer, the people that actually collect them. And so I've seen people go out of their way to pay more for something they believe is rare or unique. But at the same point, I think they're more educated buyers. So I think them looking at this car, having too many red flags with the miles and not really going through the whole car and making it its best, I think that's what will probably hurt it.
Yep. Preaching to the choir there. All right. So I guess it's my turn to give a bid there. 187, I think, is solid because I was going to be in the $180,000 range. So I will go 180,993. I'm sorry, 964. This is a 964. My bad. 180,964. And so I'm going a little bit under Lucky, but way under you, Deeb. I know you love these cars. Okay. I know you got a soft spot
for them.
And frankly, so do I. As a 964 owner, I would way rather have this one than the one that I do, but what are you going to do? All right. Well, there it is. Now is the time for you guys to put your bids in the comments below, and we are going to find out what happens with this beautiful but maybe a little questionable 964 right after this. Stick around. Hey guys, I gotta tell you about our friends Godin Porsche of Las Vegas and Godin Classic. If you're looking for a new Porsche or a classic, you've gotta call our friend Steve at Godin. save yourself the hassle of screwing around with all the auctions like we always talked about, and just talk to Steve. He'll find you the classic Porsche you're looking for. God and Porsche of Las Vegas. And welcome back to the future, everyone. Lucky Lopez said, screw it, I'm not hanging around with these yahoos. I've got better things to do. And he is doing them. So thanks again to Lucky for hanging out with us on the first half of the show. It is time for the results on this 94-911. We are way in the future. If you're watching this episode, we took a week off so Deeb could go screw around at some fancy place. He couldn't find 30 minutes to do the second half of the shows for you guys because, once again, Michael Deeb hates the nerd herd. How you guys doing? How you doing, Michael Deeb? Welcome back.
Oh, my God. That's so mean. Yeah, dude, I went to Barber Motorsport Park really quickly. Anybody that signed up for that Pirelli to get the event poster at Luftekult 9. In case you were wondering, I won. And yeah, I won. Apparently, Pirelli took everybody's name for the event poster and threw it in a hat. And they picked a winner from Amelia Island, from Porsche Parade, and from Luftekult. And they sent us all to Barber Motorsport Park for the Porsche driving experience. And so I just got back from Birmingham, Alabama, 2 days on track in a bunch of brand new 911 Carrera GTSs. And we got to do hot laps in a Taycan GTS and a 911 road courses in North America. And then the museum with the motorcycles and the cars is also world class. It's argued to be one of the single greatest private motorcycle collections on the planet, and it's unbelievable. So anybody that's in and around the Birmingham, Alabama area, it is worth a trip out to Barber Motorsport Park. Thank you, Pirelli. I love you guys. So yeah, I'm good, man. I'm so excited that I got to drive the car. It makes me want to have another dedicated track car. It's been years since I've been on track. And I had a blast. I did really well, and it was super, super fun. So I love my old Carrera, but a newer 911, John, might be in my future. I would love to have a dedicated track car.
What kind of car would you get for a track car? What are you thinking?
I'd get a GT3. Yeah.
I mean, that's like saying I would get a 911. Which GT3? What are you talking about? There's a lot of different types of GT3s. Like, what generation?
So, believe it or not, like, I love to roll my own gear, so any 997 GT3 would probably scratch the itch. But as you know, when you and I met, I had a 2016 GT3 RS, and I owned that car for like 3 years, and I never drove it on the racetrack. So I probably wouldn't mind getting a GT3 RS, despite it having a PDK, because then when we go out, my wife could drive that car, and I could drive my Carrera, which
would get a 991.1.1.
Yeah, they're still affordable. Those cars basically trade for MSRP. So to be able to
for
buy
an
that
RS,
car,
I mean, that's a $200,000 car.
Yeah, well, you know, I got a new job.
So
I got a new job, and I can't wait to spend the money I haven't earned yet.
Our good friend Chef, my partner at Vegas Auto Fest, and he's part of the regulars at the Dirt or Die Porsche podcast that we do here in the same studio, the Rami studio. So he was out at the PCA DE day out at Spring Mountain over the weekend in his .1 GT3 RS that he absolutely loves on the track. Guess who blew his engine?
Did him?
He blew it up. So the
GT3
RSs are blowing. We don't know yet. It just happened, you know, a couple days ago, and the shop isn't open at our friends at Godin Classic. You know, that car is a CPO car, so it will be covered by the factory. I know the GT3.1s, the regular GT3s, are garbage. They blow up left and right. Many of them are on multiple engines. So I would consider one of them. Hold up. Yeah, the GT3 RS engines now are in question, if you ask me. I've never heard of an RS blowing up.
Neither have I.
You know, and it wasn't like he was doing anything absurd. He was on the track, but it was a DE day, and, you know, he was turning some good laps, but, you know, he wasn't over-revving. He wasn't doing anything crazy like that.
Yeah, you can't over-rev those. You know what I mean? They've got a rev limiter. So, I mean, that's really weird.
Well, no, you can overwrap them if you pull it in. And anyways, whatever. It'll let you. Yeah. But I guess they were saying he was blowing some smoke or something like that. They were about to black flag him, came around a corner, and then it just all the Christmas lights, he lost all power and just rolled it in, brought it in. And Todd from Trophy was like, yep, this thing's done. It's done.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's so heartbreaking. Well, maybe that'll bring prices down so I can pick one up for cheap, you know?
Yeah. Right. All right. Well, let's hear. All right. Well, that's enough about blowing up engines on tracks. I would rather track this car, this 94 wide body. What happened? Let's find out the results on this car. What's going on?
JP, this is a really strange lot because on Bring a Trailer, this 1994 911 C4 wide body was running at no reserve. And when me, you, and Lucky reviewed it, the car was sitting at $150,000. And then we all went big on the car. So, you know, just to remind everybody, John, I thought the car was going to go like stupid. So I said $210,000 because I thought the C4 wide body is just so rare, being less than 300 of them ever made. Lopez, Lucky said 187,000, and you, the ever pragmatic one, took the under at 180,964. Well, our car only got one or two more bids, and because it was no reserve, sold for $155,000 on just 15 bids. Now, a couple things going on here. One, I have to believe in my heart that between the three of us, we were closer to the true market value of this car. And so I have to believe in my heart that the owner of this car that ran it at no reserve is regretting that decision, because at the very least, JP, I think this guy left $30,000 on the table, if not more. And then two, if I had even the slightest idea that this car would have gone for 155 grand, I would have bought it myself. This car got stolen. Whoever bought it, you did so good, my friend. You could easily clean this car up and make it really nice. Fix that lower front valance, take off the stone guards, give this car proper detail, pay a photographer to take photos of it, and bring it right back to market and get that $180,000 to $200,000 that I think this car is worth. I don't think there's any question there. There was some, you know, nonsense around the TMU, but I have every reason to believe that this car, probably somebody touched the odometer and reset it and broke the plastic gears for a couple of weeks. I doubt anybody was driving this car. So this car remains, despite a TMU, I think it remains a very low mileage car at like 24,000 miles and then one of like 260 ever made. There's no way this car should have gone for $155,000. I think the owner played a really, really violent game of Russian roulette. And I'm not just talking about the no reserve. I think it was the no reserve without reconditioning the car and without paying a photographer to do photographs, which would have been the marketing, right? So you should have reconditioned the car, should have marketed it, and then you can go ahead and run no reserve. But to run no reserve on just the fact that you've got one, I think he played with fire and got burnt. That's my take. I think this thing closed at 155 and he's probably still staring at his laptop 2 weeks later, and his jaw is still on the desk in front of him, and his wife is banging on the office door going, "Are you okay?" You know what I'm saying? Like, I think this guy screwed up royally. That's what I think happened.
Yeah, I'm looking at the comments and there's some other questions on here, like people wondering if it's a true wide body. I don't know. I think there's some shenanigans. This is one of those things where the comments can really, really kill an auction. You know,
you and I know that
talking about, yeah, I mean, I know that you know personally, you know, like I've had some auction failures, but I've never, well, yeah, I guess I have had some shenanigans with weird comments at the end. But I don't know, this car, yeah, definitely should have gone for more. Is there a correction? Sure. Are things softening up? Absolutely. I still don't think this is a $200,000 car at all. But it is absolutely more than 155 or whatever. So yeah, definitely a good buy. Clean it up, drive it, love it. The TMU thing, you know, even if this thing had 100,000 miles on it, it's still worth more than 155 grand. You know, I mean, a wide body 964s in general, you're still seeing narrow body clean ones do well over 100. Why wouldn't this wide body one? I get that it's dirty. I get that it needs a some buffing. But are the buyers that are out there for stuff like this really that stupid that they can't see through, you know, $1,000 detail? they have no vision that they can look at something like this and go, oh my gosh, yeah, if you cleaned it, you know, it's gonna look better. Duh. I just gotta wonder who the people are that are buying these for a lot of money versus the people that won't spend even this much money. You know, if the person that was like on the bubble at 155 and is like, I don't know if I'm gonna spend 156. Are you kidding?
Yeah, it's unbelievable to me that this car closed at 155, and of course it sold because it's no reserve. Like, if I was watching JP, I would have chased this car. I absolutely would have chased this car up to, at least to.
Did you rob a bank over the hall? Is that where you were for a whole week?
No. But
like, where are you getting all this money? I would have gone back 155 grand. I wish I would.
I would. I would have bought. I would replace my. Works turbo look car for this car in a heartbeat. Like even at 50 grand more. Yeah, I'm just saying I would totally replace my 84 for this 94 in a.
But how would you do that? Like actually, how would you do it? Like how would you actually do that? Yeah, like because you would have to go like let's say you wanted to get a loan to replace your car with this car. There's gonna be a big vig on that now. That's worth it, you think?
Yeah, I totally would have done it. I, for 155 or 160, absolutely. My God. I mean, look, this, and knowing, like, that one we had at Godden, this is what we were in it, and it was, at that time, was like an absurd amount over, and I regret not buying that white car every day, you know? So to be able to get one in black and tan, not my first color choice, but to have one with arguably lower miles at 24,000 miles, JP, I would have done this. My wife would have killed me. I mean, it's not like it's easy.
I think this car definitely has more than 24,000 miles. I'm not buying the BS, the TMU thing. Oh, it broke and I just fixed it again. Maybe I said something different before the break, but after the fact, this thing probably has 100,000 miles on it. But again, still, who cares? Who cares?
But John, look how clean that interior is. Like the carpets and the doors and the seats, like they have no wear on them. If you look at just a photograph of the inside,
doesn't
of that
matter.
Car,
20, even if it does, it's like it's not confirmable. If it says TMU, it's TMU, and at that point,
all right,
the miles are off the table as to what it's actually got. And so, yeah, you're it's again, I still agree that it's worth way more than 155, but you can't say that it's a low mileage car anymore. That's done, unfortunately, and that's one of the downsides of 964s and 993s are those plastic gears that break. Just for looking at him funny.
so true.
So the banks that are loaning on stuff like this the interest rates are crazy high on a classic car.
Yeah. You're looking at 8% at a great rate, you know?
I mean, really? You can still get 8 on? I mean, new cars are getting 8% at a great rate.
Well, yeah, new cars are 6-7%. Yeah, for sure. On a great rate.
Really? You can get, I mean, okay. That's not what I'm hearing out there.
So
yeah.
Redwood Credit Union, you can get like 6.5% on a new or used car up to 15 years old. And then on a, and that's top tier, right? And then I think.
How much are they requiring down for that? Are they still requiring like 20% down or?
No, you can do up to 110% of value.
Down? How much are you there?
You can do 110% of the value of the car. So if the car is being sold for 50 grand, you could borrow $55,000, at least with Redwood Credit Union. That's the credit union I belong to. And that's like the Cayenne is financed through them. They're the best. Like it's really awesome. Out there, you have America First Credit Union is pretty similar to what Redwood has. Mm. Pretty similar. I don't know, not identical, but that was when I was in Vegas. That's who I did a motorcycle with them. You know, I bought $40,000 RC30.
I'm hearing different things. I mean, and I'm not saying that you're wrong, and that's great. I think, you know, unions are always the best route to go if you can build a relationship with one. They're always you know, from what I'm hearing, like the actual banks are just reaming people. A lot of the banks are pulling out of regular dealerships and stuff like that and trying to get a classic car. The ability to find financing for people is a lot harder. Top tier, great. If you're not top tier, ooh, good luck. So, but Michael Deeb is top tier. He's top shelf guy right there. So he gets all the rates. So you can just like trade. Strong like bull. Yeah, there you go.
My credit is strong like bull.
Strong like bull. All right. Yeah. Well, what do you guys think of the results of this wide body? Was it stolen? Is this a market correction?
Stolen. Black bandana, black cowboy hat.
Let us know in the comments below. We'll reach out to Lucky and see what he has to say. But otherwise, thanks a lot, guys. We will see you tomorrow with the most interesting car of the day. We are back.